Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura. And we have text 46 on the board, but I'm just going to read the translation, and we'll read the Sanskrit for 47, because there's a purport. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, when the demigods offered the Lord their sincere prayers in this way, the Lord listened by his causeless mercy. Being pleased, he then replied to the demigods. Next one, 47. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Pritoham Vasura Shrestha Mahopastana Vidyaya Atmaishvarya Smriti Pumsam Bhakti Shaiva Yayamai. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Pritoham Vasura Shrestha Mad Upastana Vidyaya Atmaishvarya Smriti Pumsam Bhakti Shaiva Yayamai. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Pritoham Vasura Shrestha Madhupastana Vidyaya Admaishvarya Smriti Pumsam Bhakti Chaiva Maya Mai. Ladies. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Pritoham Vasura Shrestha Zyadvan Vidyaya Pumsam Yadvati Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Amvasura Shrestha Vasana Vidyaya Vaishvarya Smriti Pumsam Adrayamai. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Pritaha, pleased, aham, I, va, of you, sura shrestha, O best of the demigods, mat upastana vidyaya, by the highly advanced knowledge, and prayers offered unto me, Atma Aishvarya Smriti, remembrance of the exalted transcendental position of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pumsam of men, Bhakti, devotional service, Cha and Eva, certainly, Yaya, by which, Mayi, unto me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I am certainly most pleased with you. Person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. Purport. Another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Uttama Shloka, which means that he is offered prayers with selected verses. Bhakti means Shravana Kirtanam Vishnu. Chanting and hearing about Lord Vishnu. Impersonalists cannot be purified, for they do not offer personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though they sometimes offer prayers, the prayers are not directed toward the Supreme Person. Impersonalists sometimes show their incomplete knowledge by addressing the Lord as being nameless. They always offer prayers indirectly, saying, "You are this, you are that," but they do not know to whom they are praying. Devotee, however, always offers personal prayers. A devotee says, "Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Brajami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, unto Krishna." That is the way to offer prayers. If one continues to suffer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of God, one continues to offer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is eligible to become a pure devotee and return home back to Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskadhyade Satarne. It's most significant that Krishna says here, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the process of purification is to receive transcendental knowledge. Sometimes in the Hare Krishna movement, especially in ISKCON, or in other religious movements also, people imagine that there's another process of purification. Just like in the Christian religion, they claim that the process of purification is to accept Jesus because he gave his blood to purify our sins. Pretty ghastly. It's called ghastly rasa. As if God has to personally bleed in order for us to become purified. So we can see that with such a philosophy, very few members of their group take seriously their process because they think there's some other process except within your heart, Jesus or someone like that, and you become purified. Which is true, but if you don't follow the process, you'll never be able to think of Jesus or anyone else within your heart. In other words, unless one follows the process, then how will remembrance come? And the process is of transcendental knowledge is quite clear, and it has nothing to do with simply, for instance, sitting at a fire sacrifice and simply throwing some grains into a fire. Otherwise, if that was true, then people who are cooking would become very purified. We'd have a lot of pure cooks if they continuously throw grains into fires. But the actual process of purification, as clearly explained consistently within our philosophy, beginning with a verse that Shreyan Swad, Shreyan Hi Gyanam Abhyasad, Shreyan Hi Gyanam Abhyasad, Gyanam Dhanam, Shreyak Swadamo Viguna, that's also there. Shreyak Higyanam Abhyasad. Anyhow, sacrifice of knowledge is better than the sacrifice of fruitive activities. After all, Son of Printha, the sacrifice of work culminates in transcendental knowledge. So in other words, what we're seeking is transcendental knowledge. Of course, people's conception of knowledge in the material world is generally mundane, to accumulate facts and figures and what we probably call technology. The way things work in the material world is considered to be knowledge. If you know how to build a better mousetrap, you're considered to be knowledgeable. But actual knowledge is to know the difference between matter and spirit and the control of both. And ultimate knowledge is Vedaischa Savara Hameva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Veda Vid Eva Chaham. That to know Krishna is the ultimate knowledge. Unless we know Krishna, there's no question of purification. Now Krishna, of course, can be known as Brahman, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. There are those who know Brahman, that they're eternal. Those who know Paramatma, that Krishna is the controller. And those who know Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, Satchitananda Vigraha, they have the highest platform of knowledge. And that's actual knowledge. There is a process of receiving knowledge, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprajnena Sevaya, Upadeshantite Jnanam Jnaninas Tadvidarshana. We have to receive it from persons. Now, of course, Prabhupada is also a person, and his words and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not different from these personalities. But generally speaking, we also have to, we can read the books, even Prabhupada's books, but this knowledge is best presented according to time, place, and audience. Otherwise, as William Blake said, we both read the Bible day and night. I read black and you read white. Now, of course, our whole arrangement, social arrangement, is that we can sit in class submissively as possible, because I'm not inside anyone's mind except for my own. We try to create the atmosphere of submission so that people can hear it with submission, attentively, receptively, so they can actually hear. Now, of course, it's best if the subject matter is repeated again and again, if we only have one subject matter, because generally our brains in Kali Yuga can hardly hear one thing, even if it's repeated again and again and again and again. At the end of hearing it, we generally walk away and we can't remember even what book was just read, what to speak of what was said. So generally one point is best presented again and again, and then something may enter into our ear at least. Now, there's a big battle there's a big distance between our ear and our heart. So many things try to get into our ears and they get bounced off. Or unfortunately, sometimes there's no space between one ear and the other, and it enters into the ear, and since there's nothing to capture it, it just goes out the other ear. But actually, we're supposed to hear, at least try to hear, and then try to understand what we've heard. Now, of course, if we go over many points, we won't understand. We'll try and remember what was that first thing he said. And by the time the class is done, we still haven't remembered the first thing. What to speak with the 15 other things that were mentioned in between. So we have to hear, and then maybe one point, if it's presented in different angles, we might be able to capture what it means. So that's something. That's called theoretical knowledge. At least we've gained some theoretical knowledge. But then we actually have to apply it, and we won't apply it unless it captures our heart. Krishna, for instance, is not capturing people, at least in the Bhagavatam generally, by force. He's not demanding in Bhagavad Gita that everyone surrenders to him because he's the all-powerful God. He's demanding, he wants people to surrender to him, because then they'll become happy, and Krishna is all attractive. He's offering his all attractive self and protection from all problems in the material world if we do that. He's not saying surrender to me because or else you're in trouble. Of course he is saying that. If we don't surrender to Krishna, we're in trouble, but if we do, then masujaha, then there won't be anything to worry about. Now we captures our heart and we actually do something, then Krishna says he will reciprocate. that we're not just dealing with some theoretical knowledge that if we apply, we don't know what the result will be. Krishna says the result should be that we make advance into becoming Krishna conscious. So what is all this knowledge that we're talking about? It can be explained very simply. First point is everything here belongs to Krishna. If we accept that, that's the beginning of knowledge. If we don't accept that, then we stay in ignorance. And everything should be utilized to please Krishna. If we accept everything belongs to Krishna and we don't do anything to please Krishna with his energy, then we're just as bad condition as if we didn't know anything. And we should do that under Krishna's directions. And Krishna directs us both as the Super Soul and as Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And then we have to develop a service attitude. Service attitude means we have to please someone. We can't please the air. Service attitude means that we're trying to please Krishna and his devotees. Now the best devotee is one who knows how to please all the devotees. We're not trying to please one devotee and the other ones are just like, who cares what happens to them? As long as I please this one devotee, I'm going back to the spiritual world and whatever happens to these people, good luck. No, to please the best devotee means that one learns how to please all the devotees, or at least does what's beneficial to everyone, including the devotees and the innocent people and those who are atheistic or against Krishna. That's the art of Krishna consciousness. Then the result is, what is our reward for all this endeavor? Is that we'll remember Krishna. We'll learn the art of becoming conscious of Krishna. If we don't learn the art of becoming conscious of Krishna, then we've just wasted our time. There may be methods of becoming conscious of Krishna, chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, and making the atmosphere spiritual, even by preaching or creating an atmosphere in our home or in the temple that's spiritual. Now, if after endeavoring in all these different ways, we don't remember Krishna, it means we're not taking the process seriously, or we're not hearing it properly. We're not hearing it from the right source with the right attitude. So this transcendental knowledge is available, and Krishna says, you hear it from devotees, or you hear it from Shastra, both actually. One should not only hear from Krishna and his representatives, but as well as, well, Prabhupada said that, although Arjuna was not with or was personally present with Krishna on the battlefield Kurukshetra, still, if we're not with Krishna right now, how will we understand what Krishna wants us to do? So, if one hears from Krishna, from Krishna's representative, as well as from this book, then the result will be the same. In other words, hearing from Krishna's representative, we also have to understand what's in the book, or else we won't understand how to hear properly. So it's not only hearing from Krishna's representatives, we also have to understand what's in the book. And of course, Krishna's representatives should explain what's in the book and try to help us understand what the book says. Then, if we do that, then it's as good as being personally with Krishna. Now, Krishna says, when you learn the truth, you'll know that all living entities are part of me, and that they're within me and that they're mine. So we're not only finding out about Krishna as being God, but we're also finding out that Krishna is present everywhere with his different expansions, including the jiva souls, his different energies, and we're supposed to serve all those things. Not that we just serve the deity in the temple and everyone else is useless. If we do that, we'll stay useless. Now, Krishna says, apichad, apisapapebhya sarvebhya papakritamaha sarvam jnana planevaiva vrijinam santarishasi. That even if you're considered the most sinful of all sinners, when you're situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll easily be able to pass over the ocean of material miseries. So, sins are eradicated not by ceremonies alone. They're eradicated by an attitude of service to Krishna. Proper understanding what's to be done and the proper attitude when we're doing it. Otherwise, we may imagine that there's some other process, but it won't work, that's all. Now, Prabhupada used to mention, for instance, sometimes that at the time of initiation, that all one's sins are eradicated, that the spiritual master accepts the sins. Well, anyone who's been initiated might notice that all one's tendency towards sinful, one can understand one's has still sinful reactions remaining, or the tendency to sin, by simply examining our activities and our, if we're being impelled at all by the modes of material nature. So if at the time of initiation, the spiritual master actually accepted all our sins, then we wouldn't have any tendency to sin anymore. Then our heart would be completely pure and we'd see Krishna directly, immediately. We'd be, first of all, we'd be situated in Brahman, and as soon as we chanted Hare Krishna, we'd realize Krishna immediately because there's no sin. Now, anyone who's experienced that after taking initiation, I'll take initiation from that same person too. Somehow or another, I took initiation from Srila Prabhupada and it didn't happen to me. So what is the point of initiation if all our sinful activities weren't taken away? Well, they're taken away in proportion to our service attitude. Then in proportion to our willingness to accept the title of being Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa, then to that degree Krishna reciprocates with us and reveals himself to us. So the time of initiation is supposed to be, we accept a name which says Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, so that we develop that service attitude. Now, if I just accept it as another name, everyone else has a name, some Sanskrit name, that's all I wanted was a Sanskrit name, then nothing really happened at the time of initiation. Except that everyone, you can tell people your name, you'll have to repeat it 5 times for people to understand what you're talking about. It's about the only thing that will happen. It's the attitude of service that is the purpose of initiation. And it's the only beginning. That's why it's called initiation. Then we have to apply that service attitude not only to service attitude to the person giving us initiation. It means the knowledge that they're giving us. That's why we take initiation from someone, because they're giving us transcendental knowledge that we've applied and it works. And part of that knowledge is learning how to serve the spiritual master. And as Srila Rupa Goswami says, serving all the other devotees too, appropriately, in the loving exchanges. Otherwise, one remains on the lowest platform of devotional service. If one cannot understand that much of the philosophy. So Krishna says, even if you consider the most sinful of all sinners, if you're situated on this boat of transcendental knowledge, and transcendental knowledge is not some amorphous knowledge, and everyone has transcendental knowledge, so I'm saying something, someone else is going to say something, and you just pick and choose whatever you like, and it's all transcendental. No, that's not the way it works. One has to understand the knowledge clearly, and it's not that I'm saying one knowledge, someone else has some other knowledge, and you just choose their knowledge. I don't like your knowledge. It's all the same knowledge. It's just understood differently. And then Krishna says that as the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of transcendental knowledge burn to ashes all accumulated reactions to sinful activities. In this world, there's nothing so sublime and purest transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who achieves this, enjoys himself within himself in due course of time. A faithful person who is absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses quickly achieves the supreme spiritual peace. But those faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Therefore, one whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, who is situated firmly in the self, who is not bound by, one who is nihi gyanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate. Actually, that's right. Nihi gyanena sadrisham. Oh, we're getting mixed up again. That one whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, samshaya, who's not bound by work, one whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, do we have a Bhagavad Gita? Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 4, text number 40, 41. Yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana sanchina samshayam, atmavantam nibhan nikarmani nibandanti dhananjaya. It's interesting that I memorized the Bhagavad Gita a few times, and this verse I always get wrong, perpetually. And as soon as I hear the first word, then I remember it, otherwise I always usually forget it. Yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana samchina samshayam, atmavantam dhikarmani nibandanti dhananjaya. Yoga sanyasta karmanam. So, one who renounces the fruits of his work, yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana samchina samshayam, samshaya means whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge. Yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana santina atmavantam nibbanati, who's situated in transcendental knowledge in oneself firmly as Krishna's eternal servant, nibbanati dhananjaya. He's not bound by the results of his work. So this is what we need. We have to hear this knowledge. We have to try to accept it, understand it, and accept it, and then apply it, and then we'll make progress. And everything else is just assistance for that. Accepting initiation, the whole arrangement for class, where the speaker is situated above everyone else, it's not because no one can talk unless they're, what is that, 15 centimeters, 20 centimeters, how many? 20 centimeters. Off the ground, otherwise the knowledge won't pierce anyone's heart. No, it's just to give some appreciation, some respect to the speaker, so that we hear more submissively. It's not because the speaker needs more oxygen than everyone else. They put him a little higher. That's not the purpose. And why is everyone else lower? To feel a little lowly. To feel a little subordinate, that actually this person, there is some reason. He didn't do politics to get up there. He didn't pay 20 euros to speak today. There's some reason why he's there and we're here, so that we can hear. And if our minds are battling with the speaker, why is he up there? I should be up there. This person is useless. He has nothing to tell me. Then the result is we're missing the point why all these arrangements are made. Why do we sometimes usually wear dhotis? Why do we shave our heads? Why do we put on to make us more submissive, so that we're more receptive to the knowledge? That's all. Why do we take initiation? To make us more reception. Divya gana dito dayat. But if we take it in some symbolic way, some ritualistic way, some other way than it's meant for, then it doesn't serve the value that it's meant to achieve. And the result is we stay in this, we keep our same mentality, no matter how many names we have, no matter how many how much we perform the service, the activities, they don't have an effect because we won't accept actually what they're meant to achieve. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Looks like they're turning the lights off. Oh, there.
So, as I see it, if initiation and this stuff doesn't make a big revolution in our consciousness, it's mostly our conscious effort, if you can say something about that, that we consciously try to improve and uplift our consciousness, or can you comment? Or?
Yeah, we have to hear the philosophy in such a way as to understand what it actually is. In other words, unless we try to pay attention to what's going on, then we remain in ignorance. It's just pretty simple. If we're walking around in a fog all day long, you know, dreaming about, you know, she loves me not. Maybe if I got out and got a job, I could have a nice place to live and I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, I could make my own prasadam and she would do all my ironing or my laundry and, you know, maybe she could even go out and collect and sell stickers or something. So walking around in a fog, dreaming about our future happiness in the material world, then we don't pay attention to anything spiritual. We don't even pay attention to reality in the material world. We live in our dreams. So we have to get out of our dream. Anyone who chants japa regularly will see that unless we're really serious, most of our japa period will be spent dreaming. It's a great opportunity. We're standing there, doing something. We're not doing anything. So we're on the mental platform. So it's a great time to dream while you're awake. Usually the only other time we're not doing anything is when we're lying in bed asleep. And there we're dreaming. But here we're awake, we can dream all we want. And it's all spiritual. Because we're chanting Hare Krishna. So unless we make an effort to pay attention, actually move our lips, as Prabhupada said, move our lips and tongue and our teeth while we're chanting and actually try to listen, try to chant to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, then we just wind up following our dreams around, our imagination. And we think, well, at least I got my rounds done, I'm a good person. And when the final canopy drops, we think, oh, what a relief, my God, that was difficult. So we have to wake up, we have to become conscious, not only when we're chanting japa, but we have to become conscious all the time. We have to become conscious and do our activities with care and attention to please Krishna. If there's gaps, it means that Maya has entered into it. So it's difficult, and we're not used to that. People, you know, when people try and shake us when we're asleep, we get angry actually usually. Well, you rascal, why are you waking me up? I'm so nicely sleeping. You must be envious of me. That's why you're waking me up. You're trying to disturb me. So no matter how much people are shaken, then generally speaking, we don't wake up so quickly. But if we get shaken a little bit and we wake up a little bit, then we've made some progress. Therefore, the speaker, a sadhu, is supposed to be cutting. If the sadhu says, oh, let's tell you some pastime. It's like little children. Before they go to sleep, they say, Mommy, can you tell me some pastime of Krishna? And I go, oh, so nice pastime. Thank you very much. I can stay asleep. Now we have to get these classes, just like Prabhupada, he didn't tell pastimes. Go through all, anyone who's listened to Prabhupada's lectures, he doesn't tell pastimes. He tells analogies sometimes. And once in a while he tells stories to illustrate what he's saying, but very, very rarely did he ever tell any pastimes. What he did is he tried to wake people up by the philosophy. And we can see that most people, most of the devotees, if you watch the movies with Prabhupada in Los Angeles, giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class, especially Queen Kunti's classes, you can see surrounding Prabhupada are all these devotees. One of them was a bodyguard. He's the one who's yawning all the time. He was supposed to be there. And everyone else is there because the temple commander would take a squirt gun and squirt people when they were falling asleep. Tell them to stand up. So the only place to stand would be behind Prabhupada's Vyasasan, so that Prabhupada wouldn't see them falling asleep. So it's not so easy. Prabhupada said in the Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya, the path of Krishna consciousness is undoubtedly difficult. So what's the difficulty? The difficulty is we don't want to pay attention. Why don't we want to pay attention? Because we're attached to our dreams. We actually want to fulfill our dreams. And therefore, because we don't pay attention, we never become conscious of Krishna. There's no one to give our love to. This is all theoretical. There's some person called Krishna. We never really experience him very much because we don't pay attention to him. So yes, we have to become conscious. It's not that initiation has no meaning, because unless we're willing to change our name, our identity to Krishna Das, and become a servant to Krishna's servants, then we stay in the material concept of life. So it's not that we're saying it has no meaning. But if we take initiation and we stay in the same material concept of life, or we just advance a little bit, yes, I'm a servant to this person, of this initiating spiritual master, and I'll serve him as much as he tells me what I want to hear, I accept that completely. And if he tells me something I don't want to hear, well, you know, the flesh is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Or it's a gradual process. Besides that, he accepted all my sins. He should take care of it. We won't. It has some meaning if we, as much as we understand and accept what it actually is. And it's not that it's just a ritual. If it is just a ritual, then it has no meaning, but it's part of the process of actually gaining understanding and realization. Anything else? Yes.
What is gradual in the process? Because we should do most of the things immediately. So what is gradual?
Do it all immediately. No one's holding you back. Do it all immediately. But try it. Sit down, chant japa, and try to chant Hare Krishna attentively. Try to chant clearly. And see how long you can do it. And when you can't, then Krishna says, wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we have to practice that. Try to chant attentively, and then when our mind wanders, and we wander with it, then bring it back and try to chant again attentively. And if we do that, then gradually, if we do it consistently, then gradually remembrance of Krishna will come, and along with the remembrance of Krishna will come purification, a higher taste, which will inspire us to do it more. But that which in the beginning is bitter like poison, at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So we have to work in the mode of goodness. But it may be bitter sometimes. We can't expect it's all going to be sweet. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. In the verse was mentioned also the prayers to Lord Krishna. And sometimes we are doing our own prayers to Lord Krishna. How effective these prayers are, or can you tell something more about our personal prayers? Because usually when we are not chanting japa or we are not singing the songs of acharyas, we are making our own prayers to Krishna. How effective are these prayers? Maybe we are just also dreaming.
We should generally chant the prayers of the previous acharyas. That's safest. But if we have our personal prayers to offer, we should make sure they're following the same line as the previous acharyas. Not that we're praying, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. So be sure that they follow in this prayer. Yoga sannyasta karmanam, jnana sanchina samshayam, atmavantam vikarmani nibandanti dananjaya. The one who has renounced the fruit of his work, whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated firmly in the self, such a person is not bound by work, or conquer riches. So they should follow those things. Renouncing the fruits of our work, developing transcendental knowledge, being situated in Krishna consciousness. That's karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. So they should be in the line of those things.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have experienced that sometimes chanting is easier to hear chanting and sometimes it's harder. So how is it? Is it completely on us how we chant, or is there also, I don't know.
Well, we may not be able to trace back what we've done. Therefore, it appears that we're innocent and that just we're victims or we're at the mercy of something that which is, we're not aware of. But actually, we can't remember all the things that led to our present situation. We don't remember what we ate yesterday. We don't remember what we said to who. We don't remember so many things. But if you want to find out, then just chant around the japa and write down all the things where your mind has wandered. And you could probably analyze them and see why you were thinking like that, why the mind wandered there. You might be able to trace it back. What happened yesterday or the day before that or some previous time? But these things don't happen accidentally. If we do something transcendental, auspicious, then it may, I mean, doing it is auspicious, just experiencing that auspiciousness of doing it, because it's not different from Krishna. But Krishna's reciprocation may come sometime in the future. We may not know why it came. We may think, well, I don't know why I came. Maybe I was just a good person today. I'm just good there. But Krishna is reciprocating. And as soon as we become proud, oh, see how wonderful I am. Then Krishna also reciprocates. Shows us that we're not as wonderful as we think we are. So, in any case, it's not by accident. It's not arbitrary. But it's all in it. Ultimately, for a devotee who's trying sincerely to advance, it's under Krishna's directions. He's arranging it to inspire us for our advancement, one way or another. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.